The depth chart came out today. That was Mike DeFabo on with Starkey, saying that the bloom is already off the Roman Wilson minicamp rose. That this guy was the star of minicamp. His body's so much better. He is in it to win it. He is a new and improved Roman Wilson, and he's looked, outside of one spectacular catch, he's looked awful. His chemistry with Aaron Rodgers is non-existent. The depth chart came out today, and he is a third stringer. What DeFabo said about Scotty Miller is backed up on this depth chart. You've got DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin, and then you've got Robert Woods and Scotty Miller as the two backups. The other thing here that goes to show you that the Steelers are going to do things differently than most teams is they list two tight end starters and only two wide receiver starters. So they are showing their hand a little bit that they are a tight end heavy offense. I think they used two tight ends more than any team in the NFL last year.
12 personnel, baby.
And so they look like they're going to lean on that more, and they probably should given their roster makeup with Jonnu Smith here.
Their second and third best pass catchers are almost certainly their two tight ends.
But, I mean, I don't know what to say other than express extreme disappointment that the training camp returns are that this guy really is not out of the doghouse. He was in it last year after his injury. He got hurt in camp. He never got on Tomlin's moving train, which Tomlin talks about ad infinitum about how hard it is for guys to catch up. And he's buried again. He's behind journeyman wide receivers.
Bobby Trees here is ahead of him. Robert Woods and Scotty Miller both ahead of him on the depth chart. And for me, you know, they always, people on this day liked, there are people who are like, I can't wait to see this depth chart. I'm going to dive right in. And then there is the usual crowd of finger waggers saying, most NFL coaches aren't even aware of what their own depth chart says. They barely even put any thought into it. Some teams don't even bother releasing one, and they poo-poo it. Like, you'll get everyone, some people sloughing this off as not a big deal. Given the way we heard him get talked about in the offseason, given the way we kind of knew that they needed him to step forward, I do not think that this is just a much ado about nothing situation that he's third on the depth chart. I think this is one where Mike Tomlin, to whatever degree he actually puts effort into this thing, said, make sure he is third string.
Well, like Caleb Johnson is listed behind Warren and Gainwell. I think he could easily move up based on how the preseason goes here. You know,
that's a little tip of veteran deference, I think, to each of those guys ahead of him, especially
now,
Gainwell.
Arthur Smith, given a vote of confidence and a lot of praise from, in that interview he did with Jeff yesterday. So, maybe Gainwell will have a bigger role than we anticipated. I also do think that is like make the rookie earn it. If we weren't hearing negative reports on Wilson and he was third here, I would probably not make a ton of it. I would still be disappointed that he's behind Woods and Miller, who I don't see as viable options and solutions at wide receiver for the Steelers.
Miller's a special teams guy, and should Woods even be here in a perfect world?
Not really.
No.
It's just when you add it all up and you take stock of it all together, it's a very bad sign.
The fact that he can't get on the same page with Rodgers, it seems, is what's really bad. Because if physically he got himself back, but like he was supposed to be, high football IQ, high character, mate. You kind of have to be if you're not that big like he is. Didn't you say you were startled when you met him? You
yes,
ran into
him playing
by how short he was. To be a third round pick, I would think, and to play at a school like Michigan, you've got to be pretty good at all the little things in football. And it sounds like he's not vibing with the quarterback. And I know that Aaron Rodgers didn't see eye to eye with Garrett Wilson, who's one of the least diva-like receivers in the NFL among young players, but I'm still going to be deferential to the quarterback here and say he's the one who probably has this figured out more than Roman Wilson does. And so if there's a miscommunication, it's probably on him. It isn't like when
Jeff said he got a horrible glare Sunday.
An icy glare. It isn't like when it was Ben and AB and
you had
Piers.
Burned a hole in Roman Wilson.
You had Piers when it was Ben and AB, two like established, obvious greats. You could at least squint and say maybe the quarterback was the one on the wrong page, even if more likely it was the wide receiver. There's no such equal partners in this thing. One guy's been a four-time MVP and is an upper room Hall of Famer. How many snaps in the NFL has Roman Wilson played on offense? What's the higher number?
I think five.
What I was going to ask you guys, what's the bigger number? Roman Wilson NFL offensive snaps or Aaron Rodgers MVP awards?
He played in one game last year, and why can't...
He played against Vegas. And
I was right. He played exactly
snaps.
Five snaps, yeah.
So he's got one more offensive snap of football than Aaron Rodgers has MVP award.
We should actually check on that. Are we sure it's all offense, or were there some
special teams?
No, he didn't get a single special team.
Could have been some teams there, Don. But, I mean, that's the worst part of it for me. If physically he's got himself right, but he is just not at all on the same page with the quarterback, that feels like a very bad sign. It does. And not just like, oh, the offense has been pretty bad, all things considered, this camp in general. Like, you needed him to look like an early star. He's not as nearly high profile or high pressure as Broderick Jones right now, but among non-Rodgers and non-Jones players, which offensive player was probably under more scrutiny? I don't know if there is one. Maybe Fautanu because he didn't really play last year? Okay, so your bookend tackles and your quarterback, and then maybe the guy you were hoping would probably morph into your de facto wide receiver too.
And Austin, did you say him?
I didn't say him as much because you know what? At least he's shown that he has like a role in the NFL and there's something he does well. He's played real games and caught deep touchdown passes.
Like, it just feels like Austin's winning this
by default.
By default, exactly.
It's not a good sign that Scotty Miller, who was last seen doing something like legitimately big in an NFL game in what? The 2021 NFC title
ironically
game?
Ironically against Rodgers, yes. Yes,
catching that pass when the Packers played brain-dead defense, is up there at second on the depth chart.
That is disconcerting when someone who is not prone to hyperbole and DeFabo says, I've watched every practice and Miller has been better than Roman Wilson. I mean,
it's disconcerting when people are talking about how Miller might be their actual fastest wide receiver. Look at him find an extra gear. I don't want to find out about Scotty Miller having an extra gear.
Miller's the kind of guy you cut and you sneak him onto your practice squad because nobody else in the NFL wants him. Donnie, was this your big takeaway from the depth chart, or did you have something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think that one matches pretty much how all of us feel. I mean, seeing a guy that has been like glazed about over the course of football in shorts, and now they put out the unofficial depth chart, and he's wide receiver 5. And I mean, maybe even 6. Who knows? Skoronek may be somebody that passes him up. Like, we're starting to now see. Like, is this dude a lock to make the roster? I would think so.
Well,
given
I was going to throw out, is he a candidate to get traded and not in a Terry McLaurin deal, but just like, for example, the Chargers need wide receivers and Jim Harbaugh's the coach there. They worked out Keenan Allen. Mike Williams abruptly retired. The guy they drafted in the second round, Harris, a wide receiver.
Trey Harris.
Didn't really, you know, they're not sold on him yet as a contributor. Johnson has drop problems. I'm giving you way too much information on Chargers wide receivers than I need to. But people know that Jim Harbaugh likes Roman Wilson because he had him in college and he won a national championship with him. I mean, if Skoronek is your fifth receiver because he plays great special teams and Kabali says every Super Bowl team needs a Skoronek, and Miller and Woods are better than Wilson, then if he's on your active roster, he probably isn't getting a helmet on game day. Donnie's just there again.
Yeah, you're just wasting him. and wasting yourself of putting somebody useful out there.
The YouTube commenters on this one seem to be split, where people are worried but also saying like, ah, come on, give the guy a little bit more time. He's functionally a rookie. I will say this. You gotta, if you spend that much time injured, and I know it's a new quarterback and so new things and new cadences and everyone's in a learning process, I feel like it's incumbent on a guy like Roman Wilson. You've got to be ahead of everybody else on that. You have to know that there's a way you've got to separate yourself, and he hasn't. And here's the other thing with this. I think these conversations are always a little bit more pointed if you can cite somebody who was picked at the same position after the player you picked who looks like a much more sure thing to make it as a pretty decent NFL contributor. And I don't have to go far. I have to go 8 picks later to Tampa Bay and take Jalen McMillan and say, there's a guy who had 8 touchdowns and almost 500 yards receiving in his rookie year.
You know what else I actually took away from this depth chart, which I don't know if you guys read into this too. I do wonder if 2 tight end sets are usually going to include Washington. because he's such a good blocker on early downs. You know, maybe when it's third down or when it's obvious passing, if you have two tight ends, it's clearly going to be Freiermuth and Smith. But if you look at this depth chart, it's Washington listed as one starter, and then it's Freiermuth or Smith as the other. There were games last year where Washington outsnapped Freiermuth. Is Smith going to eat into Freiermuth snaps, and Washington plays about 50% of the time, and it's like those other, like, what I'm saying is it's possible that Washington plays more than the other two guys.
Because they're so run heavy and tackle, want to help each tackle. Well, how about...
And then those guys split the...
Humor me. Jonnu Smith
early down tight end snaps as like the non-blocking tight end.
Okay, but humor me on this. Jonnu Smith is listed at what? Like, isn't he about a 6'2", 230-pound type of guy? Little bit... I don't think I'm like shorting him too much here. 6'3", 245. Why wouldn't you try to get creative and get all three of them on the field at once, and he's flexed out sometimes as like a matchup problem wide receiver, or Freiermuth at 6'5 is?
Well, they've done that where they've had four tight ends out there with Haywood at fullback.
Why can't you, if your best lineup is, and you can't run it this way all the time, you have Washington out there because he's going to help one of your tackles and he makes the running game a bigger threat. Freiermuth might split out wide and Metcalf might split out wide, and there's going to be times where Jonnu Smith lines up in the slot. Tell me exactly why that isn't, while an odd deployment, maybe your best bet.
I have another funny one here. There's a punter battle for the ages, seemingly.
There is?
In Latrobe. Corliss Waitman or Cameron Johnston?
Man,
I think we're going to get a punter trade at the end of training camp.
I'm kind of rooting for Cameron Johnston just because he really did wreck his knee, dude. And I kind of want to see him come back.
Yeah, and they kind of paid the dude.
Yeah.
He's also Australian. I like the fact that every once in a while we'll get the odd soundbite from a guy with an Australian accent, too.
God, we were watching an old Steelers game today, and man, was Cowher just laying the lumber to Josh Miller on
the
sidelines.
Oh, that was the 97 game where he wanted to...
tackle the guy returning the block
exactly
field goal.
After Norm Johnson's kick got blocked because of that bad snap.
He was... Deardorff is on the call,
and Deardorff is just completely comatose,
Deardorff is just going, boy, if I were Josh Miller, I'd want to be on the opposite sideline right now, because he punted a ball into the end zone. That was why. He cost him like 8 or 9 yards of field position, and Cowher was ready to rip his head off on the sidelines. It was incredible.
Deardorff was like a pig in slop in the booth for that game, because you had two running backs that were like 260 plus. You had Natrone Means and you had the bus.
If they were a tag team in WWE, they'd have basically been Earthquake and Typhoon in that thing. And Deardorff was loving life, man.
The thing that was underestimated in that game, too, is Jacksonville ended up covering because of that. It was a 3-point spread. They were up two. Or no, they were up three.
They were up 21-20. Or no, right. They were up 23-21.
Right.
The Steelers were going to win 24-23 if Johnson hits the field goal.
So they went from not covering to...
Who was the long snapper on that team? Did we ever figure that out?
I don't know.
Because it was a very bad snap to like the inside shoulder or hip of the holder. It was Tomczak.
Yeah.
And he never got it around quick enough, and the ball got blocked. And, oh, dude, those guys... Donnie's right, though. Deardorff just could not have been a happier camper watching.